back to life. Only you can, only you can. You set me free from every chain. You fill my heart with songs of praise. Only you can, only you can. Jesus, you're the only reason that I'm even breathing. I am wide awake. My heart beats only for your glory. My hands reach up for you to hold. My soul sings, Father, you are holy. My feet dance to your rhythm. Every beat is calling, every beat is calling out your name. Every beat is calling out your name.
Amen. All of creation proclaims the glory of God. I love that song. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Squim Community Church. We're so glad to have you in person as well as joining us online. Let's sing this together.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome? I was lost, but he brought me in. His love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last. Ransom me, his grace.
Savior, all the day. worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Way make, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yes, that is who you are.
Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes into the presence of the Father, in relationship with the Father, connected to the Father, except through you. You came, you lived on this planet, you understand the human condition completely. In your actions for us as you died on the cross for our sins, you freed us. You've launched us into a whole new way of living. Help us to work through the day-to-day challenge of living out our faith, being your disciple, being your hands and feet to the world. It's true, we fall short of your glorious and holy ideal. And we can check those off on our list today as those things that we've confessed to you. And as we'll see in our scripture passage, you're a God of love and forgiveness. You show us grace and mercy. You not only forgive, but you forget. Allow us, Lord, the freedom that comes in your forgiveness. As we pray for those that we know around us that are ill, people returning from surgery, going to surgery in the next week. We ask that you would be with the doctors, give them wisdom and skill. Pray your healing hand would be upon them. We continue to pray for those on the front line, those right behind those on the front line. We can continue to hold up leadership in the world and in our country, in our state and city. We learn a lot today about protecting our minds and going in peace to one another. And I pray that that would become more and more the order of the day. That in our aspiration to be fully devoted followers of yours, that you would continue to work in us and through us. We love the opportunity to worship you. Help us to feel your presence, your power, and your peace as we do so. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our goal is to also add 10 o'clock, the blended service, to live stream by the middle or so of March. We're looking for a few more people to help with our tech team. I think we've persuaded a few people in the last week to come and join us in that. So there'll be 9 o'clock live stream will be this contemporary service, and then our blended, which is some contemporary and some hymns, that will be live stream at 10 o'clock. Don't forget the mission trip sale. That's going to be happening on campus March 12th and March 13th. We'll still take your donated items. We've got stuff everywhere. It'll be a great sale, so get it on your calendar, Friday and Saturday, March 12th and 13th. Today we're looking at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and we have our very own Christy Paris reading that for us.
Good morning, church. Today I will be reading from the book of Ephesians, Chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere.
So today is the last installment of this series of messages, and I wanted to highlight to us that the battle that we fight every day, yes, it's in us, it's even among us as we relate to one another, but I wanted to highlight the fact that, well, there's an invisible war that's taking place that we battle in each and every day. And it is a battle between good and evil on our planet. Someone might say, well, why talk about these things? I don't encounter demons and spirits and things like that. And if you never have, that's a real blessing to you that you've never been influenced or in a battle with an evil spirit one-on-one. A few reasons to bring this to you is that we live in a community that is the capital of witchcraft for the United States. Not far away, not even a full day's drive in your car. Another example that we're living in and around that battle is, well, I understand that every high school on the North Peninsula, actually most high schools in the country, have a coven of witches that gather on a weekly or regular basis. Now that might startle you, that might shock you, and I hope it does a little bit. Maybe we were the right place for them to pick to run the movie series Twilight. Because we are in a daily battle. There is evil influences out there. And the worst thing that would befall us is to think that was not so. That everything is easy. It's always good. Our biggest challenge is just choosing our own good behavior over bad behavior. No, there's a whole nother level of conflict that goes on each and every day. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to what Paul says. He says a final word, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Now, that's not a passive idea. It's not as though evil is around, and as long as I just kind of go about my regular day, evil will stay away from me. No, they have strategies. They have strategies. They're after us, so to speak. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers of this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. What Paul is describing is this invisible spiritual battle that we're in all the time. And yes, evil and darkness is trying to influence us. They have strategies to come at us in our point of weakness. And notice, Paul says, put on all of your spiritual armor. Why? Because if you leave one piece out, that makes you vulnerable to what the darkness in this world wants to do in us and through us. Paul goes on, therefore, you got to remember what's the therefore. This therefore is talking about this spiritual battle, and because it takes place every day, and even if you don't want to be a part of that, you're still needing to be ready for that battle. Put on every piece of God's army so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. When temptation comes, now we're talking our normal everyday experience. We're all tempted day in and day out. And that temptation doesn't come from God. God is not tempting us to do bad. God wants to influence us for good. So we have to resist the enemy in the time of evil, in the time of temptation. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. You will be feeling good about yourself. You will feel a sense of the power of God being with you, because I believe the more that we stand up to temptation, evil, and the darkness in the world, the more we feel a confidence about our faith. We don't need to be worried constantly about darkness and evil, but on the other hand, to just discount it and say, well, there really is no such thing. I don't want to have anything to do with that. I think on the other end, that makes us very susceptible to temptation and ill-prepared when it comes to taking on evil and darkness as it comes our way in our day-to-day life. So Paul says, get your armor and put it on. So we're going to go through the six pieces of the armor of God. We need to be dressed for this daily battle. The first thing we need is we need to put on the belt of truth. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. And that's all about integrity in our knowledge of God's word and our living out of God's word. Now, you know it's true. The belt kind of holds everything else together. If you don't put your belt on, well, your pants aren't going to stay up, right? In fact, in a Revised Standard Version of this, it talks about girding your loins. And we talked a little bit about this battle in our armor just a little over a year ago. And one thing I wanted to remind you of is that your belt kind of holds up your battle garment, which is a little bit like a dress with two slits in it so that you can run. And what you would do when you gird your loins is you would take those two pieces, pull them up tight, and then tuck them into your belt. Why? It's hard to run with a dress on. It's hard to battle with that on. Now, you want it because if you're an infantry person and you're making a move towards your enemy, it's kind of good if you have arrows or things coming your way that you don't have a lot of skin showing. You want protection. But when you get ready to go into battle, you need that sense of integrity in your armor. And so you tighten that up, and now you're ready to move out. And for us to move out as Christians, we need to know the truth and we need to live out that truth. We need to have a sense of integrity, and I mean integrity in everything. Does a week go by that we show integrity in everything? No, but we're striving to do that. We want to show integrity in what we do in terms of our faith, in terms of our work, in terms of relating to other people in our avocation, our neighborhood, etc. And the key here is you should be the same person everywhere you go. You're not a different person in this circumstance or a different person in this setting in life. A consistency of integrity in how we live. And so simply what we have to strive to do is to not be hypocrites. Not be hypocrites. Not be one person one place and another person another place. A hypocrite is the person that can't admit that they fall short of God's glorious ideal. They've grown comfortable in being different people in different settings of life. And well, when you're in a battle, you need to take your place. You need to be with your group. You need to be shoulder to shoulder with other people, and that's way easier to do with someone when they show integrity. Oh, I know that person, and I know that person. Yeah, they're not perfect, but they have a lot of integrity. They are striving for one thing and one thing over in life, overarching everything else. And when that comment is about our faith, that's a good comment. Oh, they're seeking to live out their faith in all the circumstances, all the relationships, all the challenges of life. And we all know how evil, temptation, darkness kind of chips away at our integrity. And before we know it, we're missing some pieces to life. Life now isn't adding up the way that it used to add up. Because that evil, that temptation, that darkness is now starting to influence us more and more. And what brings us back around many times is the simple truth of God's word, the simple truth that my life is better when I live the way that Jesus wants me to live, which is in conflict at times with how I want to live my life or the temptation that is drawing me in a moment. So we start with the belt. The belt is what holds everything else up, and then we move on to the body armor of God's righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, which is a little misleading because the body armor is both front and back. You never know when you're going to get turned around in a battle, and you don't want to not have some body armor in the back. Our body armor is a sense of living our life with a sense of purity of mind, heart, and soul. A striving for the very best that God has in store for us. That body armor protects us in the front when we're doing well, when we're heading into battle, but we all have our bad days, don't we? And there are those moments in life where we're kind of turned around. We've lost our point of focus. We've lost our biblical orientation, and now we're vulnerable from behind. And we need that righteousness of God to wash over us, to be very much a part of who we are and what we're doing. And here you go. You need body armor because Satan is always trying to get a foothold in the door of your life. Every time we open up something that would be wrong or evil or dark, that's where Satan's trying to get his foot in the door. And he will try the darndest to turn your temptation into sin. And the more we close the door on Satan, the better off we are. But once we start opening that door of inconsistency, of impurity in our life instead of being pure in life, well, we all know what happens. Things just get easier and easier when it comes to darkness and temptation and sin. And the best way to keep the devil from having a foothold in your life is to have a sense of purity of mind, heart, and soul. And that often comes from being a person who has integrity in what they do and what they say, a consistency in what they say and what they do. So we got our belt of truth on. We have our body or armor of God's righteousness. And when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we gain positive things from the righteousness of God, right? To be a disciple, to be a Christian, means that we're going to be a human version of Jesus to other people. Christian, I-A-N, on the end of a word, means little version of. And as we put on our armor, we're getting ready to be our version of Jesus to other people. And yeah, that's consistency, that's integrity and purity. And so as we move forward, we need to put on shoes, our battle shoes, really battle boots. We put those on, and those are the shoes of peace. About the good news of Jesus Christ, that in Jesus Christ we experience God's love and we understand God's forgiveness. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. And we need that to make peace between us and God. And we need to have peace with God. We need to have peace with other people, be reconciled through forgiveness with other people. And then many times we're hardest on ourselves. We just need to forgive ourselves and understand that we're not perfect. We do make mistakes and sin. Now we need that sense of peace as we go. In a battle, especially those in infantry had little cleats on the bottom of their shoes or their boots. They're called hobnails. They're a lot like the cleats that an athlete would wear. And they would pound them into the bottom of their boots, their battle boots, so that when they got into soggy terrain, that they could stand firm in the battle. You know, if they didn't have those on there, they'd just slip back as they were taking a hill. Well, we are here to stand firm and declare to people forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That yes, in Jesus Christ, you can have a fresh start and a new beginning. And so we embody in our integrity, in our purity, in our desire for knowing God's truth, living God's truth, we want to share God's truth with other people. And I know that's a challenge. In fact, I would say that today, the challenge is greater than any other time in my adult life. In other periods of my adult life, people were a little more familiar with the Bible and Jesus and going to church. And now that's a very foreign concept to a lot of people. And they don't know because nobody's told them. No one has lived out the gospel in front of them. No one has stepped across that potential embarrassment that I bring up my relationship with Jesus with someone else. That for them too, that might be the answer that they're looking for, and I believe it is. So we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, aren't we? Yes, we are. And what we offer is we offer a reconciliation with God. An opportunity for us to have better relationships with one another and a great freedom personally. We're no longer imprisoned by our sinfulness, our faults, our failures. The past is forgiven, and now we can look ahead to what God has in store for us, ready for us to enjoy. Next thing we need is we need the shield of faith. The shield of faith becomes our daily defense as we go out and live out our faith wherever we're going, from the workplace to the grocery store to a conversation with our neighbor. We need that, and as I mentioned to you, the shield was actually not probably a heavy piece of wood or metal. It was actually a frame that you would put animal skins on. And before you went into battle, you would dip your shield in water and make it moist so that when the fiery arrows of the enemy come, they hit that wet skin and they extinguish, they bounce off. We need daily help. I don't know about you, but I need daily help. Because if it's not one thing coming at me, it's something else. And I need something I can kind of move around that will help me situationally in life. A lot of situations are wonderful, beautiful. A lot of relationships are very meaningful. Like you, I wake up in the morning and my focus is to have a good day. Be good and do good as I go throughout the day. But I've noticed there are days where this is bad. Trouble's coming this way. Or I see somebody on the horizon. Oh, there's trouble coming. Difficulty coming. Criticism coming. Complaining coming. Sometimes temptation overcomes us and we're our biggest problem. We're our biggest problem. We need defense daily because we are besieged on a daily basis by depression, by disappointment, by delay. Aren't we? Aren't you? Don't those things frustrate you? Yeah, they do. And if I don't armor up in a defensive posture against that those evils or that darkness, that difficulty, then if I get shot, it's my own fault. And nobody wants to be shot by a flaming arrow of something dark, devilish. We don't want our temptation to turn to sin, but it does. And so know that our faith, as we live it out, becomes a great defense against what would come at us that's dark and evil and our own potential for doing dark, sinful, evil things. Now we got to do something with our head. We need to put on salvation, the helmet of salvation. Salvation gives us a whole transformed mind, heart, and soul. That when we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, we begin to think a whole new way, don't we? Once we're regenerated, we're a part of transformation. And Paul says it over and over again. What does he say in Colossians? You know, think about the things of heaven. What's he say in Romans? That you will change through the renewal of your mind. And we know that's true. How we think is, well, that's how we go through life. And when we're protecting our mind, our thinking, that allows it to be a more natural day-to-day experience that we think along biblical lines. We live by our Christian values and morals. And we are for all of those good things, and we're helping other people shoulder up in the challenge and the difficulty of life. But we can only help someone else if our mind, if our thinking is straight. Our thinking is biblical. Our thinking is going to lead us to living out the values, the truth, the commands, the instructions, and the suggestions that God has put for us in His Word. Yeah, you got to have a good helmet. It's got to protect all of your head and still give you the opportunity to see forward in the battle of life. And our salvation does that. It cuts us free of our failure and sin in the past. It allows us to bring our very best self to the moment. And our salvation tells us that we can be hopeful about the world up ahead, not fearful about what's far away, what might happen next week. Yeah, we get a confidence in our faith when we're thinking a godly way, the right way. Then finally we get the sword of our faith. Now clearly the sword is the offensive weapon in the armor of God. The rest is all defense. Well, you could take a shield and bong somebody on the head, I guess. But the sword is the Word of God, and it's designed to help us move ahead in the battle of life. Yes, it's a defensive weapon as well. You're not always moving forward. Sometimes you're on the defense as things get difficult. Delayed, disappointing, depressing, stressing. But the Word of God becomes the sword that allows us to tell good from evil, to cut between the excuses that we often use on why we're not making progress in our faith and in our life. And God wants us to be protected. He also wants us to be mobile so that we can move forward into darkness, into difficulty, into a position where something evil is going on, and we're going to stand firm in that. We're going to move forward in that. How easy it is to get discouraged with what we've been dealing with. And I'm not saying that if you're fragile health, you need to damn the masks and go outside. But what I am saying is that you're always looking for the opportunity to advance the kingdom of God in the battle between good and evil. And whenever we advance the kingdom of God, the expansion and the enrichment of God's kingdom, that is always a good thing. But that's not always an easy thing to do. We need to be armored up with our sword, with the word of God. And we need to be mature in our faith, not infants in our faith. Those who through training, discipleship, have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong, and I added good and evil. What I've noticed is that as people mature in their faith, they not only know more, but they're able to live more in their life. And I'll tell you what I notice. They don't make excuses all the time. Some people always have an excuse for why things didn't advance, why darkness or evil overtook them and they sinned and fall very far from God's glorious ideal. See, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, when we're fully armored up, we don't have to make excuses. All we need to do is ask for forgiveness. We just have to be reminded about our battle boots, our shoes. That the peace, the forgiveness, and love of God that we want to extend to someone is always extended to us through God's word, through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now, you're going to get older, but the big question is, you're going to get more mature in your faith. Intentionality of knowing God's word, of worshiping God, of serving God, of hanging out with God's family. Those are all good signs of discipleship, marks of discipleship. I know it's tough out there. It's tough for me out there. And we are in a battle, and I believe you agree with me. We don't have to go very far to find some darkness and some evil. In fact, you get us on a bad day, and oh, God wants to replace that sinful nature in us with a renewed, transformed nature. And the more transformed, the more sanctified we are, the more we are doing good in God's name, advancing, progressing, not only in our own life, but in our life together. I think we've all experienced darkness and evil. And as we experience it, what we need to do is fight against it and not give in to it. And it's true, the biggest battle is within us for Christ's control of us or Satan's control of us. The secondary battle, though, is very large. It is everywhere in the world we go. And when we're all armored up, we don't have to be afraid of evil. We can be confident. We always need to remind ourselves that Christ is for us, not against us. He came to save us, not condemn us. Let us pray. Jesus, you know where we're weak when we go to battle. We need more truth, more of your righteousness, be more of a peacemaker as we go. We need more spiritual agility to deal with all the flaming darts around us. You understand how fickle our minds are. Lord, you know that we can act like babies every once in a while instead of mature believers. Jesus, I pray that you would point out to us the piece of the armor of God that we're doing really well in, but also that piece or pieces that need shoring up. Jesus, I'm thankful that you're a forgiving God. I'm thankful that you give us spiritual power, a wisdom as we move in life, but also a confidence as we move in life. Lord, you do more for us, in us, and through us than we deserve, and we love you for that. And so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God, that is the cry of our heart. We want you above everything else. We want to love you more than anything else. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we just give you all the praise and all the honor this morning. Thank you, God, for loving us and making us part of your family. We bless you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Thanks again for joining us. Let's armor up this week. Walk in the power of the Spirit. See you next Sunday.